writer and columnist. Very much appreciate the information that you shared with us. And
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And thanks to Sarah and Summer and Lainey. I'm Esti Dinur. With these donations, we will be back again next week. Bye-bye. We come and never be recorded with information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream media distorted. We come and listen and supported. Live and direct.
You're listening to WORT Madison. Stay tuned for Mel and Floyd. Disregard the mainstream media distorted. We come and listen and supported.
Ha ha. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got you. Wow, I feel nice. A sugar and spice. I feel nice. A sugar and spice.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's Mr. Smarty Pants here again, welcoming you to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show, our Sans Mel edition. I just talked to Mel yesterday, and I want to let everybody know that he's doing okay, and he may well be remote on the 15th. I can't promise that for sure, but there's a betting pool right now in England, which is okay. Very, very highly in his favor. So I just want to let you know, it seems likely. So he'll be here on the 15th. And for next week and the week after, we're going to do pull a couple of episodes from the vault. So if you hear us talking about the McKinley administration, actually, considering the way things are going right now, it could be right on the button. Because isn't McKinley, that's I think William McKinley is actually President Trump's favorite economist, if I remember correctly. More tariffs, gold standard. Yeah, gold anyway. So we've got a whole panoply of people here today. So we have back with us again, Luthor.
Hello.
Yes, hello. You don't sound menacing enough, Luthor.
I've had a good week.
So Luthor, as you all know, Superman's foe. He's committed to world domination. And did something fall into your slimy hands this week then?
I got really into butterflies.
You don't say.
I spent all week just chasing butterflies through my neighborhood.
What are those decorative objects fluttering around? Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, that's nice. Are there a lot of them fluttering right now? Are you a lot of?
Sure.
Okay. Well, we'll check back on that. We also have with us back from a worldwide tour as Saga. Saga's here to practice some of her radio magic. How you doing, Saga?
Oh, I've got bad news and bad news.
Oh no! What's the bad news?
Well, let's start with the bad news.
Okay.
I left my ocarina at home.
Oh no!
I was really, really hoping to bring it in and play the Macarena
on the ocarina
for you. I thought that would cheer Mel up.
Yeah.
But alas, I've forgotten it.
Well, come with me next week when I go visit him.
Yeah,
that'll be fun.
I'll bring
you
along.
Yeah, that'll be fun. We're going to get the whole gang. We're going to get Ruby out there. We're going to get Floyd. I mean, it's going to be the whole Mel and Floyd extended family. And, you know, when we do that, it usually involves gunplay. So I just want to warn you right ahead of time.
What?
When the family gets together, it can get a little rambunctious, you know.
All right, count me in.
Okay, excellent. So, but we have a guest because, you know, we've been doing this thing now for the last few weeks with, you know, Mel is a palpable absence. I can feel it's like an outline with nothing in it, you know, that when I come into the studio. You guys are doing great and I'm happy to be here with you, but I feel that Mel absence. And so I'm feeling like, let's get some folks from the community, some minions, some people who like listening to the show, and let them tell us a little bit about their lives and the things that they do. And we've had some great guests the last few weeks, and we have another one today. There's an amazing book that I'm looking at. Again, we like to have pictures of things before on the radio, but that's an amazing book, and the author of this book, now there's an author and there's an artist that's involved in this. It's called The Gallery of Lost Gargoyles, and why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Bob Kahn.
Hey, Bob Kahn. I thought it was Bob Can, because you're a can-do kind of guy.
I've heard that one before.
I'm sure you had about a million times. Yeah, exactly.
More than that.
So I want to ask you first, before we get into the talking about your book, Bob. You listen to Mel and Floyd?
Often.
Do you? And why is that?
Because it's funny.
Is that okay? All right. Well, I'll take that. And how long you been listening?
How long has Wart been on the air?
Since 1975.
And how long have you been on the air?
Since 1993.
So since 1993. Is that the right answer?
That is the right answer. Excellent. Do you have a Mindless Minion card?
No, I don't.
Uh-oh. We got to get you one of them babies.
Please.
All right. Because, you know, we can only address you if you're a loyal Minion by using your Minion number. Everybody has to have that. It's like a routing number. We also ask for your Social Security number when you get it, but don't worry about that. So, Bob, tell us about the book, and tell us about the person that worked with you on this book.
So, the full title of the book is The Gallery of Lost Gargoyles, A Laugh Out Loud, Too Good to Be True History of Madison's Art, Architecture, and Nonsense, Mixed in a Blender and Served Hot.
Excellent.
It's co-authored by my friend Jim Good, who is a master artist, particularly doing lino cutting, which means carving in linoleum and then putting it through a press. With one color, and then doing more carving, and then repeating the process with sometimes up to 8 or 9 colors. And Jim is also trained as an architect.
Wow.
And so Jim did all of the artwork in the book, and there are 21 chapters. Each chapter has a iconic Madison building, like the Overture Center, the State Capitol,
sure.
Ace Hardware, the Barrymore, the Orpheum, the First Unitarian Society Meeting House. And in each chapter, Jim has made a marvelous lino cut of a gargoyle that once was on the facade of the building. And then he also took a photograph of the building and put a question mark on it where the gargoyle once resided. And then each chapter includes the story of the building itself. So Jim makes architectural commentary as well as descriptions. I provided some of the history behind each of the buildings.
Oh.
And then we tell the story of the history of the gargoyles within that building's history, why they were there, how they wound up being there, and what led to their removal. So it's a mix of Jim's art, Jim's architecture, the history of the building, mostly for me, and then both of our comedy writing.
Okay. So what is the reason why someone might want to get rid of a gargoyle? That seems like something you'd want to hang on to.
I'd hang on to that.
Oh, there are so many reasons. For example, in the neighborhood around St. Bernard Church on Atwood Avenue, there were rumors that the St. Bernard gargoyles that were on the roof of the building were snoring, and the snoring was keeping the neighbors awake. And so the neighborhood organized to demand the removal of those gargoyles.
No, that was the Kip Factory. I remember that. That was not the gargoyles.
That might be what you think. The neighbors, it was those St. Bernard gargoyles. So that's one example.
Excellent. I was surprised to see that the Ace Hardware had a gargoyle.
Ace Hardware had a gargoyle that has one of the early skill saws.
Yeah.
And Ace Hardware had a gargoyle on the roof that ostensibly was operating, doing repairs for gargoyles in the city. At the same time, downstairs, they were selling supplies for the human population.
That's nice. That's, yeah, dual sort of marketing there.
Yeah, I got a question. Were these gargoyles successfully rehomed?
Well, some of them eventually they got evicted from Madison. One of them wound up in Notre Dame in Paris. One of them is a Frank Lloyd Wright building, got relocated to the basement of the Guggenheim, where all the other busts were.
Wow. They're traveling.
They're traveling, yeah. So they're all over. Some of them are buried in Madison, and some of them are still there.
All right.
Are any of the gargoyles fictional? In the book?
The book is a mixture of fact and fiction.
Okay. I'm looking at one right now that looks like an alien in a UFO on Monona Terrace.
That must be Captain Galactica Gargoyle.
Ooh.
She was there because when Frank Lloyd Wright, who designed the buildings in 1938, he listened to the radio program from Mercury Theater, War of the Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And as you might know, there was a big panic and people thought that the Martians were invading. Well, Wright didn't believe that, but he thought, who knows what's going to happen in the future. So in his design for Monona Terrace, he had a flying saucer. If you go onto the roof, you know that that structure looks like a flying saucer. Well, that was in Wright's original design. But they could never get it to fly, so instead they've got a decoy pilot, Captain Galactica Gargoyle, there, so that it will attract the Martians and away from the more heavily populated areas of the city.
I like the folkloric crossover of aliens and gargoyles. That's, to me, that's already sort of interesting. Yeah.
And to save us all, you know, really, really kind and thoughtful.
They did their research. That's it's effective tactics. For fending off alien invasion.
Absolutely. It's
and how do you know?
I see one right there.
I just something you want to tell
in
us?
In the studio. It worked.
It's kind of the same as putting up those fake owls in your garden.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Same concept.
They have a, was it a coyote or a wolf or something at Tenney Park?
You know, those always get me.
Yeah. The geese laugh at them. I live right across,
I'm dumber than a goose.
Well, I know geese are not. I don't know. Yeah, I guess it is bad if you're dumber than a goose. Anyway, so where can people find this book?
Well, you could get it at jimgoodgallery.com. You can order it online from Jim.
Jim Good Gallery, all one word?
Mm-hmm.
.com. Okay. Yep.
And the Madison Public Library yesterday just purchased two copies, so you can check it out from the library as well.
All right. So you can get your little fingerprints on there and see everybody else's little fingerprints. Mm-hmm. So when did you guys do this book? How recent is this?
Well, this is about a week old. We worked
a week old. Oh my god.
This is like hot off the press.
Oh wow. Uh-huh.
Minions, you know your duty. Get out there and get this book. I mean, it's unusual. I love it because it is it's about Madison, right? It's about Madison structures, Madison buildings, Madison life, but it also has this wonderful overlay of something else. That's great. So are you gonna troll it at some bookstores or something?
I mean, Lake City Books is going to be carrying it. We're just beginning to do the outreach.
Oh, great.
There's going to be an article in Isthmus about the book on their next edition. Eventually, we're going to be on Andy Moore's show on WORT.
Oh, wow.
Have you heard of it?
Have you heard of it? Yes. And who knows what else? I'm just beginning to... I was a freelancer for 40 years, and I'm dusting off my marketing skills and starting to market the book.
Well, you know, if you want to market something, this is the show.
That's right. That's why
Both of our listeners will run out right now and
cost,
get that
cost
book.
Cost me $5,000 to get on the show to sell two copies.
Hey, I didn't get any of that.
The kind of businessman I am.
Exactly. Okay, so tell us your favorite. We asked you a couple questions about a couple of them. What's your favorite one? Your favorite gargoyle in here?
My favorite? I think I like the St. Bernard
You like that
gargoyles.
One, yeah.
Octet of gargoyles on the bell tower. We actually, there's a photo in there. We tracked down two real St. Bernard canines who came to the church, and from the back of the church, Jim took a photo of the St. Bernards with the church in the background.
I can't call, by the way, I always call that structure St. Bernard's because I can't say St. Bernard without laughing. But...
and barking too.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be the cathedral, I think, now for the diocese. Yeah. They're refitting it.
And you could read that in the book, in fact.
Oh, excellent. Ooh. Very good. So you're right up to date on all these things.
Cutting edge.
All right. Well, Saga, you got any questions? Yeah, I loved your rehoming. That was nice. That was a nice question. Very concerned about those gargoyles.
I would like a gargoyle, as it turns out.
Well, we just happen to have a gargoyleria in the back of the book, which gives you all of the online opportunities to buy gargoyles, including French gargoyles in Wisconsin, known as macaroni and cheese, with the website weecheddar.com. And that's just the beginning of it.
Here I go to Google right now.
Yeah, there she goes. All right, we've lost her.
Yeah, we had to check Google on some of ours so we didn't get in trouble. They existed. There's one www.doubleentendre.com.
Well, it sounds like you could do like a little gargoyle tour of Madison with your book.
Not only that, at the back of the book, there is a map that tells you how to go on that tour with directions on how to go on it. So you could visit each building starting at St. Bernard's or Bernard's, as you will, and ending up at the First Unitarian Society on the west side. We figure it would take about 2 or 3 hours to do it, but it's building by building how to get from one to the other, and it can be done, and you'll enjoy yourself.
So do I get a sample book? Do I get a free book?
Begging again? Don't you think Mel will be embarrassed?
Well, no. I just think about my friends, and I was just kind of like, here, look at this. You know,
what was it, Jerry Maguire, show me the money?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway. Okay, well, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Bob, this was great, and this has the Mr. Smarty Pants seal of approval. Get out there and grab that. And Saga, what are you thinking about it? You're feeling pretty favorable.
I'm A+ on this idea. I'm so glad to learn about it.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
All right. Well, we're going to do a few news nuggets. And Saga, I'm going to start by asking you, what was your favorite story of the week? Not in terms of the tragedy of the world, not in terms of the horror of the world, but in terms of like the funny of the world. What's the funniest thing you saw this week?
I've only caught
it. It can be
horror.
Bitterly ironic. It can be sarcastic, but I just funny. What is the funniest thing?
Oh, I've only caught the horror this week, I'm afraid.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of it.
Yeah. What about you?
I don't know. I was just describing, I mean, many people probably have seen this now, and it is sarcastic and bitterly ironic, but I kind of was getting into that South Park episode.
Let's go there.
With Trump and Satan, I just kind of like, that seems like a natural pairing. I mean, I'm surprised no one's thought of that before. It's kind of, you know, that seems like they seem like they're pretty tight.
I've just looked it up, and there's a USA Today headline that says, South Park creators apologize for latest Trump episode, quote, "We're terribly sorry." Which I think there was an old episode with the BP execs saying, "We're sorry. We're so sorry."
Yeah, right. Well, the problem is that's going to be on Fox News without the modulation that you provided with your tone of voice there. But yeah, I was. I don't know if you saw. There's a. In the episode, I mean, we're all talking about it, but I just let's talk about it too. In the episode, not only do we have the tête-à-tête between those two, or wherever, but they also have apparently South Park, the community, is sued by the president, and they have to provide him with like $2 million or something, and they free advertising, and so they get together and they create an advertisement, and in the advertisement they do, which is based on that Jesus, he gets you. And if you saw any of those ads, except they show Trump as being like Jesus in the desert. You know, he's there wrestling with sin and death and so on for us. Except he's this giant lumpy pink dimpled thing. It's just really. I mean, we're talking about body horror here of the highest degree. And he has a talking tiny little penis, which is also the little icing on the cake there. So these guys are, they've got a lot to be sorry for. But that was, I know it's low and cruel of me, but that amused me. So
wow, I feel like as long as you're punching up, we can be on board.
Yeah, or over or whatever. Yeah. I saw here's the world we live in. Okay, I'm looking at you now, Luther.
Give it to me.
Here's the world we live in. The president of France, the president of the French Republic, Emmanuel Macron, announced this week that France is going to recognize the state of Palestine as part of its, this is a quote from the French president, as part of its historic commitment to a just and durable peace in the Middle East. So they're going to do that. Meanwhile, at the same time, the Macrons are suing a woman here in the United States, who's a podcaster, Candace Owens is her name, who's been making false claims that Mrs. Macron, Madame Macron, is in fact a man. So there's the politics we live with. On the one hand, here's the French president making this historic. It's the first, first of the major allies in Europe to take this crucial step, and at the same time they're gonna fight this rearguard action. against some podcaster who's claiming that his his wife, the First Lady of the French Republic, is in fact a man. So, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of colonialism, a little bit of anti-trans ideology.
Put it all in there. One giant pile. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So that's what's happening in France.
Yeah.
How about the other allies?
I think the wife of the German chancellor is also a man, so that's good. Mm-hmm. I think we just assume that all the first ladies are men, and we'll just start from there.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, and then that's why not?
What a world!
Why not?
Makes it much more interesting.
Wow.
President Trump's has been trying to limit the concept of birthright citizenship, as you know, against the Constitution of the United States. And a federal appeals court has ruled that his executive order restricting birthright citizenship did violate the Constitution and affirmed a district court judge's nationwide injunction. And it's getting one step closer to our buddies and theirs, the Supreme Court of the United States. So this was a 48-page opinion released Wednesday. And this is the thing that frightens me. Two of the three judges on the panel said he exceeded his power and that it contradicts the 14th Amendment. Who's that third one? Who is that person? That's what I want.
He's one of my friends.
Yeah. Oh, because he's evil?
Yeah, we play bingo on Fridays. Right after this, actually.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Are any of the Supreme Court justices on your team?
At least two.
Yeah, I think we know who they are.
But I'm trying to remember. My sense of time is pretty different, so.
They were gone on vacation.
I can't remember
if
they're
you.
Still on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, understood.
That reminds me of, did you see this, like, it's a YouTube channel, Jubilee. They do these insane debates. I'm doing big air quotes right now.
I can see that.
That's like
wiggly fingers.
One progressive versus 20 far right conservatives. And it's
does
insane.
He get to tag in people if he gets tired or she gets
tired? I don't watch that. I just have seen clips of them.
Yeah,
but it's if you really hate yourself, go out and watch the 2.5 hour long YouTube video of one progressive versus 20 far right conservatives.
And are they playing dodgeball?
I'd watch that.
It's a reverse dodgeball.
So they end up pantsing the person, right? That's the usual bullying, right?
Yeah. But it's like, it's crazy. These people are nuts. Like, I don't know how they find these people. Like, they found a...
Like Candace Owens nuts or better than that?
I would say way more crazy than Candace Owens. Yeah. They found one guy who is a DACA recipient, a dreamer, who thinks that immigrants should be deported.
Okay. What do you mean? All immigrants?
Well, I didn't watch the whole thing, but it's just... I'm just like, who got to you? Like... Did they trick you? Did they invite you in to something? Like, what's going on?
It's what we call brand differentiation. All right. We live in a world in which everybody is in everybody's face all the time. So how do you become notable? You do something screwy as hell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what all of this is about. It's like, how can I be screwier than the next person? Mm-hmm. So it's like, hey, I'm the guy who hates my own people, you know? Like, look at me. I mean, it's a Darwinian struggle. It really is, right? Everyone's trying to get your attention, and so here we are, seeing how crazy we can be.
Yeah.
What's your brand differentiation, Saga? What's the thing that makes you stand out?
Oh.
Why should somebody looking online or listening right now to the podcast or whatever they're listening to this think, hey, that's the show I want to listen to?
Oh my gosh, ain't that the question? Beats me. I don't know if I'm special. But I shouldn't say that. I should have a branded answer. This is a show that'll make you laugh.
Yeah. Now's your time. We can brainstorm things.
Yeah. This is the only thing that's better than us sitting around yammering on the radio is having a meeting on the radio. Oh, like Elmer's here. Elmer, can you bring in the whole board? Maybe you'd like to. Because I got to tell you, that's pure radio there. Right? We'll have a nice the direction of WRT. That'll hold them spellbound for hours or minutes or something.
Oh, we got to get the union rep as well.
Oh, yeah. You bet. Okay, exactly. So the U.S. decided, the man decided this week to pull out of UNESCO. This is the United Nations Cultural Agency. This is the latest, of course, move by the Trump administration to make life a living hell for all human beings. Turns out China is really happy about this. I can't imagine why. I have a friend who's is pretty right wing. Mm-hmm. She's someone I work with, and I'm still able to maintain a pretty good friendship with this person. She's misguided, but very kind in certain ways. And I was talking with her about these things, and she has this whole thing about, well, you know, the CIA this and so on and so forth. And I was like, yeah, we agree on 90% of this. But, you know, when they pull out of international agreements and international organizations, I said to her, thinking this might rouse her a little bit, doesn't that just mean that China has an advantage now? And literally, this individual said to me, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
You and Pete Hegseth. Yeah, right.
Well, isn't that the problem with America First? Is it kind of locks you in to be unable to think about the ramifications of this nation's actions on a global scale?
Well, this is narcissism in a political slogan, right? I mean, mm-hmm. we don't care what you're thinking or how you might react, right? It's all about what's in, it's all about the little voice in my head, you know?
Hey, that could be our slogan.
The little voice in my head. Excellent.
RFK has one of those.
Does he? Oh, that's right. He has his little worm. Yeah. I think the worm's dead, though, isn't it? I don't think the worm is actively controlled. It's not like Ratatouille or something, right? I mean, pull a nerve ending and it does this or something.
Are you sure, though?
Well, I can't be totally sure, but I mean, I think there's probably like science or something involved here. I'll have to consult someone who knows these things. But.
That's what's actually in the Epstein files, is that they're all just being controlled by rodents in their heads.
Wow.
Everything is Ratatouille.
There you go. Now, that's an interesting concept. I think we should start, you know, if you're going to be a good podcaster, you got to have a conspiracy theory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think you got a good one going there. So rats are controlling them all.
All right.
Here. Meeting adjourned. Yeah.
We've got our differentiation now. We got our brand. We're the rats control everybody people. Except for us. We're rat free. We can guarantee that, right? Right, everybody?
Yeah, okay. WORT, the only rat-free radio station on your dial.
Rat-free for at least 10 years.
Yeah. Now, I won't say anything about the mice, but I just rats I can guarantee on.
We're pro-mice.
We're pro-mice. You know, it's funny. A couple years ago when Companion and I were doing our summer sojourn to Paris, we were in a place we normally don't go to for Airbnb, and there was a mouse. And it was so funny because, first of all, we're very fastidious, and secondly, we hardly ever eat at home. And so the poor mouse, it kept poking its head out, looking around, Fourth day, didn't see it. And it's like, you know, it just gave up on us. And it was like, that's how you deal with mice, right? And that's, be abstemious, and then you don't have to worry
about
it.
No
takeout boxes, no pizza, no nothing. Mm-hmm. It's just that rat, or that, pardon me, that mouse just gave up.
Poor mouse,
I know. So what's been going on in your life? Your life. You can tell me about that.
Well, yeah. You know, you said I was on a world tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Imaginatively, I've been a lot of places.
Like where?
Well, I suppose I could have gone to France and had some ratatouille. That sounds like a nice trip.
Yeah.
I did go on a cheese tour in Wisconsin. Did I tell you about that?
When was the last time you used the bathroom? Nothing personal. Just wondering. So you went on a cheese tour. Yeah, so where'd you go?
Well, there's a lot of cheese here.
I've heard.
Yeah, you can go eat it in a lot of places, and including New Glarus.
As opposed to just look at it. Yeah. Appreciate the aesthetics. Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of like wonderful local independent little cheese shops.
Okay.
You know, you could travel from New Glarus to Monroe, Monticello, all those little towns in between, and just stop. And Isthmus Magazine had a little guide to all the cheese destinations in central southwest Wisconsin. It was a lovely afternoon I spent eating baby Swiss.
Is there a highlight? Would you recommend one cheese location the most?
You know, I think there was the Chalet shop in New Glarus that I got a wonderful little brick cheese. I didn't know brick was a style of cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. That was very good. Yep. And there was a...
Cement cheese is the worst, though. You don't need to stay away from that. So what made you, what gave you the idea of doing the all cheese tour?
Something to do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's all. That's it.
Okay, so you're just facing the horror of the untempered schism of existential despair, and you said, cheese.
With dairy products.
Cheese, yeah, right, exactly. We got a caller who called in and said you should read, I think they mean me, Calling In by Loretta Ross. If you read it, it will help you understand your conservative listeners better. I actually, you know, I don't want to be vain, but I kind of do understand, to some extent, some conservative points of view. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with them necessarily, but I do understand them. And I think part of that is the way I grew up, where I grew up and what I was exposed to when I was early in my life.
We've talked about this before. We have similar kind of conservative religious backgrounds.
I'm empathetic with some of these views, even again when I don't agree with them. It's why when talking about my friend that I was discussing, my work friend, I like to be open to what she has to say about things, because and not necessarily go after her, because I'm just kind of curious. I mean, people have different, you know, routes in life, and they've had different experiences, and they've been exposed to different things, and so sometimes you'll find out something that could be of value to you, and that's the point of view one hopefully has with respect to other people generally.
Yeah. And then you have to think about the effects of those ideologies at scale.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like you can be kind and understanding to the people in your life, and understand and be generous towards what motivates them, and then realize like the effects of what they believe is bigger than them.
You're absolutely right, Saga, because I think what happens is often in the moment, face to face with people, we can be very different, and there's nuance and there's differentiation, and it's when we sort of scale up to the caricatures that we create of one another, basically. And those caricatures, of course, are helped by the culture and the media and so on. That's when things start to get pretty dodgy, it seems like.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like it's about time for our break. We got some messages we want to play for you, and then we're going to come back in the second half of the show. And we have someone, speaking of which, we have someone who's going to be calling in from Wheeling, West Virginia. And we're going to have them online. Hopefully all the tech will work here, and we'll figure out what's going on there in our little outpost, our little WRT outpost in Wheeling, West Virginia.
Okay.
See what's up there. See if there's any gargoyles, UFOs, or gosh, maybe even some conservatives there. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street, specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in-Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
The Community Immigration Law Center is holding a fundraiser on Thursday, July 31st from 5:30 to 8 p.m. at the Cardinal Bar. Every day we hear news about this administration characterizing all immigrants as criminals and terrorists. But the majority of them are hardworking folks just living and supporting their families. Our current administration is shamefully ignoring and bypassing existing and well-established laws that enshrine and guarantee human and civil rights and due process. The Community Immigration Law Center, CILC, is committed to ensure that immigrants get proper representation and a fair hearing in court. The event starts at 5:30 with music from Tony Castaneda. Our featured speaker is Grant Sovern, an immigration attorney and founding board member of CILC, who will describe the essential work of the center and what it means in these turbulent times. The Community Immigration Law Center is holding a fundraiser on Thursday, July 31st from 5:30 to 8 p.m. at the Cardinal Bar. You're listening to WORT Madison.
WORT welcomes trauma and critical care surgeon Dr. Feroz Sidwa, who worked twice in hospitals in Gaza caring for civilians who were severely injured in Israeli attacks. Dr. Sidwa will appear in three public events: Friday, July 25 at the First Unitarian Society, 900 University Bay Drive. Also Friday, July 25 at 7 p.m., a presentation for the general public at Christ Presbyterian Church, 944 East Gorham Street. This event will also be available by Zoom. Saturday, July 26 at noon at the Anti-War Cafe at the Crossing, 1127 University Avenue. You are listening to WORT 89.9 FM in Madison, Wisconsin.
So during the break, I was thinking a little bit about, I don't want to be Pollyanna-ish, you know, the idea that somehow we all just get in each other's space and talk to each other, that everything's going to be great. Some people just really are bad people and so on. But I guess what I'm responding to is the phantoms that we create, the conceptual traps we find ourselves into, the impoverished diets that we have with respect to how we think of and how we conceptualize one another generally. And I think there's a lot of things in the world that are caused just simply because we have the wrong picture of what it is for somebody else to live their life. And I don't care what your political affiliation is or whatever. I mean, I think that's just something that if you're going to be a person on the earth, you got to realize that that's a trap that you find yourself in.
Yeah, I really like that. And I think it's possible to still treat people kindly and decently, even across those divides, and the bigger the diet of other people we have.
I want to tip the scales on my diet of different kinds of people. That doesn't sound good at all.
It takes so much more work now to get outside of your experience that's familiar to you.
Yeah.
Because we're just funneled into we use the word echo chamber, I guess, but we're all kind of funneled into similar lines of thinking that reinforces what you already believe.
Well, and you know, I got to say, not to, you know, get all crazy here, but I mean, I think that idea that we're in our own echo chambers is just an extension of the trick that late capitalism plays on us of thinking that we're individuals. Everything is structured around us to make us think that we have power and can do things on our own when we're so utterly dependent on the goodwill and activity of other people in complex structures that serve us. A lot of people realize that, and I think that we're dismayed by this when COVID came along, to realize how much of what presents as an independent life is actually utterly dependent on the work of other people. And we don't want to do that, right? We go, you know, we buy something in a fancy schmancy store, you don't see where it comes from, you don't see how it's made, you don't see how it got here, nothing. Everything is mystification. You don't want to actually see what's going on in the world. And that's actually the way the thing is structured. So you have this illusion of individuality and power.
And here we are, demystifying mystification and atomization on the airwaves.
Okay, well, we do have a guest for another Minion. We have a Minion moment. We have our second Minion moment. And, I just want to let everybody know that all of you who are in the Minion moments, you get a special porcelain Minion moment image of yourself as a... No, you don't get that.
I want one.
Precious Minion moments, we call it. So we have... Who do we have online, Luthor? We got over there.
Is Phil... Phil, are you here?
I am. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can. Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Great. I'm doing quite well. Thank you.
All right. Excellent. So you are calling in from, did I get that right? You're in Wheeling, West Virginia?
Yeah, in the middle finger between Ohio and Pennsylvania.
I was about to say that. I love when people in different states have different hand signs to represent the map of their state. And West Virginia's is definitely the best.
So because I have family both in Eastern Kentucky, as I mentioned in my email to you, but also in Columbus, Ohio. And often when I'm driving from Columbus and going east, I go right through that middle finger, and usually with the windows rolled up. So, you know, just... make sure I'm safe. But at any rate, so what's going on in Wheeling right now? Give us a little blow-by-blow account. What's happening in your stomping grounds there?
Well, the good news, I guess, to start with, is that the Sons of Italy Italian Fest is going on this weekend. And they'll be serving 7,000 pounds of sausage.
To one person?
Well, no, to everybody who shows up. I mean, they'll also be serving a lot of beer.
Yeah.
But I actually have never been to the Italian Fest.
Yeah.
Because the same weekend, there is also a Greek Fest.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I just I much prefer gyros and baklava.
Couldn't they just put it together and have a Greco-Roman festival? You know, that could feature Greco-Roman wrestling. Yeah, I mean,
you bring in some gargoyles.
I think that there is some tension between the two groups, perhaps,
maybe
that has prevented that.
They could have voting on which name to give the gods.
There you go.
Named Zeus or Jupiter?
Right? That would actually be really interesting. Nice learning moment, I think, yeah, for a lot of people.
So isn't Dean Martin the Rat Pack singer? Isn't he from somewhere in that area? I think it was from Steubenville, wasn't he? Isn't that nearby where we're in?
I believe he is.
Yeah.
And my spouse is actually from Canonsburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And they have a famous singer who I am now blanking on the name of. I feel like...
You know, famous fleeting, as old What's-His-Name used to say.
yeah, exactly. that's going to... I'm going to wake up probably at 3 o'clock tomorrow.
Give us a call if you do. Whatever show's on the air, just call in and say, hey, I want to tell the person that's on the air. So are you a regular Mel and Floyd listener? I'm just kind of curious. Are you a minion?
I am. I have been listening to your show since, not continuously, but I first started in 1998.
Wow.
When I moved to Madison.
What did you come to Madison for?
I had just graduated from college and I wanted to get a job as a newspaper reporter.
Oh.
Did you get one?
It took over a year.
Yeah.
But I did. I worked at the Portage Daily Register.
Wow, cool.
For about 5 years.
What are you doing now?
I am a gentleman of leisure.
You get up in the morning. Man. Okay, do you get up in the morning? I just got done watching Barry Lyndon. I really recommend that movie to people.
Oh, I've seen it.
You like that movie? That's like one of Kubrick's great ones. A lot of the movie is very long and very boring, but a lot of it is him getting out of bed and putting on his ruffled collar and his knee breeches. And he's, I mean, some of those costumes are amazing. Is that what you do in the morning? Is that your day?
No, for me, it's more like T-shirt and put the dogs in the backyard.
But you still got the powdered wig, right? I mean, as long as you got that.
Unfortunately, no.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say unfortunately, yes.
Never developed.
I was ready to move to Wheeling, West Virginia tomorrow. I guess I'll wait.
There is a costume store, so they can probably hook you up.
So what made you want to be on the air? What's going on that you'd like to share with the folks?
Oh, I just saw an opportunity and grabbed it with both hands. I figured it's always best to volunteer, and if they don't need you, then that's fine. That's how I actually wound up on the board of directors for WORT.
Oh, you're on the board of directors. Cool. Tell us about that.
I am. 2 years ago, there was a... more than one opening, I believe, and so there were advertisements on the station saying, hey, if you would like to serve on the board of directors, here's the application and let us know. And I didn't. I thought about it and I didn't apply. And then the deadline passed and the station said, hey, we didn't get enough applications, so we are extending the deadline.
Ah.
Please, if you're interested, join the board. So at that point, I did, and...
So I'm thinking of another Kubrick movie here. I'm thinking of Eyes Wide Shut. Did you guys have like an initiation ceremony you had to go through or anything in order to be on the board?
No, that, I mean...
You didn't wear weird masks or do anything?
We didn't, no. Oh, we don't have masks.
So what do you guys talk about on the board? And please, spill the tea. Whatever you know, just let everybody find out.
Basically, all the on-air hosts, we gossip like a bunch of housewives. Yeah. Did you hear what so-and-so said this week? OMG. No, it's actually a very challenging time WORT as, you know, the CPB funding and...
Yeah.
various other things.
Yeah, Saga was going to talk about that in a minute. So, yeah, kind of a little precis for that. I mean, what are some things that are going on with that?
I think there have been other on-air hosts, I think, who have been able to talk more expertly than I as to just how much the funding loss will affect WRT.
Sure.
As a member of the board, I think it's probably also important to mention that, you know, this is our 50th year as a radio station, and that's something to be celebrated.
Yeah.
Not every community radio station reaches 50 years.
Right.
And I think the board is committed to doing our best to make sure that the station survives another 50 years.
Yeah. Well, as a gentleman of leisure, couldn't you throw in a few, you know, gold guineas or something to...
I wish I had the ability to do that.
Not that kind of gentleman of leisure, huh?
Yeah, like so many people in West Virginia, I'm disability. So.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I have a limited income. Oh no, it's fine. It actually, I feel like I worked long enough, that it's a well-earned retirement.
So I used to work in the coal mines. I don't know if you knew that.
I think you may have mentioned.
Yeah,
it.
I did that when I was young. It's a part of the way how I put myself through college when I was younger, and that was probably fortunately I worked a non-production shift, so I know people are always like, oh, did you get black lung? But no, I was the guy that sprayed the rock dust on the walls to keep down the coal dust, so you wouldn't get black lung. Among the other things that I did. So what kind of labor did you have? What were you doing?
Oh my!
Not coal mining,
reporter,
probably. Yeah.
No. I've never worked in a mine. I worked as a preservation carpenter.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
And when the 2008 economy sort of cratered a lot of construction jobs, I fell back on my communications background and was a grant writer for a homeless service provider.
Oh, that's great.
For about a decade.
That sounds exactly like the kind of people we want on our board.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Saga's got a question for you. Saga, what do you want to ask?
Well, I'm just hearing you talk about West Virginia and this festival you're going to. What else are you up to this summer?
Honestly, I should be doing more work around the house. Our bathroom is in a state of disrepair because I took all the trim off, but my spouse and I can't agree on the color that we should paint the walls, so the trim has been off for maybe not quite a year. But it's getting close.
See, I think that what marriages need are something like a vice president, you know, to cast the deciding vote when there's a tie. You know what I mean? Like if you got, okay, green, yellow, whatever.
Yeah, what are the two finalists for colors?
Yeah, oh, that's a good question. Thank you, Luther.
It's a sort of a off purple and an off blue. Because the
warmer
the tile that we redid our shower tub surround in was sort of a opalescent metallic purple that shifts to blue.
Okay.
And
we're all visualizing it right
now. Yeah, so you're really caught.
Yeah, I know. It's again the limitations of the medium that you frequently
well
talk
not
about.
Seeing any of these colors or the room or your preference and mine, none of that. If I could be vice president, I'd vote purple. So for what it's worth,
you always vote purple.
I'll pass that along. It is a royal color, as I'm told.
She always votes purple.
I do, you know me. Exactly.
What's been good talking to you, Phil? I really appreciate your calling in, and keep up the good work on the board. We were joking earlier about, I don't know if you were listening to the show earlier, but we were joking about having a mic'd board meeting on air just to get everybody excited.
And here we are.
And here we are. Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah.
All right. Well, I hope you guys figure out your bathroom issues. And remember, there's always the outhouse while you're waiting to see what to do with the bathroom.
So. Purple.
I have actually been unsuccessful in convincing my spouse that we should adopt a humanure system.
Well, like a compost toilet?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a hard sell.
So
what color does she want the bathroom to be? What's her choice?
Honestly, I think that's part of the problem.
Oh, okay. All right. So there's an indeterminate color. Well, I was just saying, figure out what the color is, and then make your compost that color, whatever it is. That would be the lure. That would be the first step over the threshold there, as it were.
Mm. Yeah, I'll take that into consideration. I did want to ask one question.
Oh, I don't want to take too much time. No.
Corey, Saga, are you the guest that was on a few weeks back talking about D&D?
I in fact am.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, that's really cool because
I've been playing
D&D. I have
okay.
since high school with a bunch of friends.
Do you have a campaign right now?
We play online now. Mm-hmm. No, it is currently in hiatus because everyone got busy with something else.
Scheduling is number one statistically.
I'm playing in one, but I'm not the one that I was DMing.
Can you tell us about your favorite character you've played? Like
half orc barbarian who was a city barbarian, not a wilderness barbarian.
Okay. Mm.
So he was very much like a sort of
breaking the mold,
punk rock.
Yeah.
I like how that's nice that they have mixed creature characters. I didn't realize that was the case. I read Lord of the Rings when I was in high school, and I thought, well, aren't there nice orcs, or at least like not quite so bad? I didn't like the racism in Lord of the Rings. Yeah. You know, it was kind of like, so I like the idea that you can be half orc. That's good. I'm that seems like a definite improvement over the antecedents there. All right, well, we're going to move on now, and I thank you so much, Phil, and thank you as you said, for stepping up and volunteering. I think you're probably going to be, we were just doing this during Mel's absence, so you're probably going to be our last mindless minion moment. So thank you so much for being here. Well, sort of here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Yep.
Take care, everyone.
Yep, you too.
Bye-bye.
So, by the way, Saga, we were talking during the break. You want to say a little bit about what's happening with the Corporation for Public Broadcasting cuts? Because this is a huge deal, and I don't want to be the negative Nelly, but I just got to say, when people say, we've had this for 50 years, I got to tell you, we had Roe v. Wade for 50 years, too. I mean, it's just like the times and tides are changing. So, I mean, I don't. Longevity doesn't seem to make any difference with the way things are going.
And this is something that you have to fight for. This isn't something that will just continue with the rollers that we've got it on now.
Yep.
We need folks to financially recommit to the station, if you put it in those terms, because the station will lose over 10% of its operating budget because of the corporate broadcasting cuts that the Trump administration has signed this week. And that it goes into effect nationally, and it will affect our budget in the next year.
Yeah.
And what those cuts will look like is something that internally is being, you know, discussed. But you out there, listener, I mean, I can't imagine you could pick something that you would lose from this station. And we don't want to either. So if you are feeling in a generous spirit, if you want to fight for the kind of programming that you hear on this station, we're asking for folks to donate online at WORTFM.org to keep us moving forward. God forbid we even expand and do more good things for you in the future. And I'm sure that's what, folks would like. So keep us moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to be talking about this stuff a lot more as time goes along here, because so many things right now are, we have a false belief about institutions and practices that somehow, I think this is why people like the Trumps of the world think they can just take a baseball bat to stuff, mm-hmm. because they think somehow, well, it'll all work out in the end. It's, you know, it'll be durable. Nothing is durable. Everything is the result of all of us working together, deciding on the same thing, having common goals and esprit de corps, institutions and practices. They're just mutual agreements that we're mm-hmm. all working on. And they can disappear tomorrow if enough people just say, well, I'm not playing. If enough people are just saying, well, we're going to do something else, then that thing will go away. It's not like it's a piece of granite or something.
It's not guaranteed.
It's not guaranteed. So yeah. We have to keep thinking now, how will society evolve with these massive changes in terms of how we've allocated resources? And of course, as everyone knows who's listening to the show, how we've decided to allocate resources is we're creating a billionaire hellscape for the rest of us by making sure that, I mean, I've got story after story of people, insurers are starting to reject more requests for medicine, rehab, rehab facilities for people who are coming out of surgery and so on, more and more of them now are for profit, and we're starting to see more complaints about it. I mean, the people who are running things, the people who are doing, like, for example, health adjacent profit centers, I mean, that's what you might as well call it. Those people now are seeing a green light. All of society is going to change as a result of what's happening right now. And it's foolish to think that we can recover what's already gone, but what we have to do is work together to build and move forward into the future. And yeah. this is a time for this to happen.
And I bet you want to know about what's going on. And we need to keep independent media alive, right, so that you can be informed about what is happening. And I want to plug a show that's happening on Monday on a public affair from 12 to 1. Host Douglas Haynes is speaking about the Corporation for Public Broadcasting mm-hmm. cuts, the CPB cuts, with three folks who also work in community radio. We're going to speak with Nathan Moore, who's a former wardie. I don't know if folks remember Nathan Moore mm-hmm. from the station. He's now moved on, but we'll be coming back. He works for the National Federation for Community Broadcasters, and he's going to be on to talk about CPB cuts, along with Jesse Dick, who works for a station WXPR up in the Northwoods, and Carl Habeck, who works for WOJB up in Hayward. So these are rural community radio stations that will be even harder hit than WORT, and places that are already close to news deserts, or places where the community support and the community need for independent media is so strong.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can tune in from 12 to 1 on a public affair to hear more about that.
Cool. Nothing funny about that.
Nothing funny about that.
No.
Can I share something that talking to Phil reminded me of?
Sure, go right ahead, please.
It's really cool. So he was talking about D&D and Lord of the Rings, and I saw this exhibit that's on display right now in Science Hall at the Robinson Map Library. It is Fantastic Worlds. It's the woman Karen Flynn Fonstad from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, I believe. She wrote and illustrated Atlas of Middle Earth.
Yes, I have a copy of that. And, of course.
And right now they have, in Science Hall, they have all of her works in progress on display for the Atlas of Middle Earth. So all of her hand-drawn maps at huge scale, six feet wide maps.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah.
She makes guesses at like what kind of stone there might be in that area, mm-hmm. and like what the rock is like and so on, the forests are like. I mean, a lot of that's guesswork because she's kind of using Northern Europe as a model.
Yeah, it also involved like a meticulous deep reading of not only of all of the Middle Earth texts, like the Lord of the Rings and Silmarillion and everything.
Yeah.
And then when Tolkien's son published the 12-volume History of Middle Earth, she went back and used that to then refresh things and make a second edition.
Right.
Which was then used extensively for the films. So, it's really cool. Highly recommend. It's going to be on display until August 1st, weekdays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Robinson Map Library in Science Hall. Definitely check that out.
Just want to say one little happy thing, piece of news that I found, so we don't get ourselves too bummed out. The Bayard Rustin Center for Social Justice is going to be launching this fall. Social justice advocates are creating a queer history archive that celebrates Bayard Rustin, who's a major organizer in the civil rights movement. It's a wonderful documentary about him that came out recently. It's going to have articles, photos, videos, telegrams, speeches, and more that are all tied to Rustin's work. And
telegrams.
Yeah, well, that's... I'll be coming in on Wednesday. Stop. Whatever you're doing, stop. Yeah, they're so this is all sourced from museums and archives and personal accounts, and it's designed as a central space where people can add their own stories, kind of going on from there. And Byron Rustin was, of course, a major strategist who was kept in the background because of his sexuality for and else he was kind of a character for so long. But now that we know more about what was going on during that period of time, we realize how important he was to so many of the civil rights struggles that were going on during that period of time.
And where is this at?
Let's see. This is going to be in, New York City.
Cool.
Yeah. So if you're going to New York City, check out the Bayard Rustin Center for Social Justice. Well, it looks like we've reached the end of the show, and I guess the only thing we have left to do is to let the minions know that they can stop working right now. Wherever you are, minions. Just stop working.
Cut it out.
Take your hands off the keyboard. Your irrational exuberance for your work must end at this moment. Saga, it's been wonderful having you here.
Thanks for
again.
Having me back.
And we need to get together next week so we can go and say hi to our buddy Mel.
I'll find my ocarina. We'll make it happen.
I hope to God you do. And Luthor, thank you again. This is the third time you've been with us, and
it's been really
enjoyable. Mel had some very kind things to say about you and our son this week. So thank you for participating and being the engineer, because I would be lost without an engineer. I can't do more than one thing at a time.
That'd be an interesting show.
Yeah. I'd be like, wait, just a minute. I got to press this button. Yeah, okay. So thanks, everybody. And next couple of weeks are going to be some Elmer's going to find some stuff from the archives. And then we're hoping, let's all cross our fingers. Let's all wish really hard. I do believe in fairies. I do believe in fairies. And Mel, I hopefully will be with us remotely on the 15th. Woo-hoo. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So let's all hope for that. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
You're listening to WORT 89.9 FM Madison.
Hot pants make you shoot yourself. Good God.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, July 25th.
This is Bird Note. Some swifts and frigate birds stay aloft for months at a time. Scientists know this because they attached sensors to the birds. What they hadn't been able to learn for certain was whether birds might be sleeping on the wing, and if they do, for how long. It was thought that one half of a bird's brain might sleep at a time, as happens with some birds when resting on the ground. A 2016 study provided some solid answers. Tiny devices attached to the heads of frigate birds tracked electroencephalograph patterns and, crucially, head movements. The results were fascinating. Frigate birds did sleep while aloft, most often one half of the brain at a time, as suspected, but they also fell into normal whole brain sleep and sometimes